Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon you've already heard, especially the words of Paul, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2:2. This is the day that Friedrich Winneken went to be with his Lord. And the passage that was read is the text of the funeral sermon for him delivered by his old friend C.F.W. Walther. Now, actually, there were four funeral sermons for Winneken in 1876. Unfortunately, the manuscript of Walther's sermon apparently has not survived, and so I cannot describe its treatment of how Winneken exhibited Paul's words about the model preacher and ambassador for Christ. Nevertheless, I will make the best use of the resources available. Friedrich Winneken was born on May 13, 1810, in Hanover, Germany, and educated at the universities of Halle and Göttingen. He immigrated to America in 1838 and became soon active among German Lutherans in Baltimore and then in Fort Wayne and other regions of Indiana and in Ohio and in Michigan. Early on, he was commissioned as a traveling missionary by the Pennsylvania Lutheran Ministerium, which is a body of the General Synod of those days. Now, later on, when Winneken died, Walther gave tribute to him in an eloquent announcement of Winneken's death. And that has survived to us. It's still in the Lutheraner. And in that announcement, Walther gave high tribute to Winneken's energetic and self-denying endeavor to seek out, organize, instruct, and help his fellow immigrants, the German immigrants, calling him, quote, a man whom nothing else brought to America but the fervent desire to seek out his spiritually forsaken brethren according to the flesh and to bring to them the blessed message of the gospel of Christ, the Savior of sinners. End of quote from Walther. In 1841, Winneken married Sophia Buach, and with her was blessed with seven children. He was called to serve as pastor in Fort Wayne and nearby Friedheim, and then later in Baltimore, and then in St. Louis, and finally in Cleveland. And he served the Missouri Synod as its president for 14 years, from 1850 onward. Winneken was well known for his confrontation of erring, wayward sinners in a friendly but urgent way, sometimes buttonholing them or collaring them, letting them know that he was concerned about their spiritual state, calling them to repent and to seek grace and help in the arms of Jesus Christ, their Savior. He also knew that the Lord's Supper is a very important aid for this purpose. That explains his treatment of a man in Fort Wayne who came to him to announce for the Lord's Supper, telling him, you cannot go to the Lord's Supper. And when asked, why not? He replied, "Because you are a drunkard." And when asked, "What liar told you that?" he said, "A man who knows you very well, whom you will not contradict." And then Winnikin took him to a mirror in the house and showed him a man with bleary eyes and a red nose and shaking hands. The man was appalled at the image seen, and he asked if forgiveness was available. And of course, the answer was, "You are redeemed through the precious blood of God's Son, which is present in the Lord's Supper." And then they had a talk about the wonderful, marvelous grace of the Lord Jesus. And as the man left the house, Winnikin called out, "Oh, I nearly forgot to tell you. Now you can go to the Lord's Supper." On Winnikin's first Sunday as pastor of the Baltimore congregation, he found a serious, unexpected problem. The congregation was a mixture of Lutheran and Reformed people. And he declared at once that he could not agree to this unionism and announced that in his next sermon, he would bring two books into the pulpit, Luther's Catechism and the Heidelberg Catechism of Calvinism, and explain the different forms of belief and ask the members, the congregation, to choose what their confession was to be. And he did exactly that, causing much dispute and conflict, with the outcome that a sizable group of Reformed adherents left the congregation and formed their own. Winnikin held that there should be unity of doctrine in a church and in a union of churches, since, like Paul and C.F.W. Walther, he wanted the whole counsel of God to be explained and preached, but always with the gospel of Christ the Savior being understood as central to everything taught. Winnikin soon left the Pennsylvania ministerium and the general council for confessional reasons and joined the newly formed Missouri Synod. And soon he was serving the Missouri Synod as its president. One of his duties in that office was frequent visitation of pastors and congregations for oversight of them. He once compared this oversight work to a carpenter using his plane to plane off the rough edges of the pastors and to shape them to become better workmen for the Lord. Now, one of these visitations was to deal with a controversy in which a pastor was charged with errors concerning the practice of private confession. Winnikin, when he had examined all the evidence, came to the conclusion that the accusations were false and that the ones who were teaching the errors here was his critics, his accusers, about confession. When the leader of the accusers, who was a pompous and haughty man, saw Winnikin go into the church, he called out to him, "This man that you're defending is spreading false doctrine. And Winnikin then quietly responded, "You're lying." And then, and he just kept walking toward the church. And then this chief critic said, "You know, I believe that you're afraid of me and of the accusations which, of the arguments which I can present here." And Winnikin then stared at him and said, "Listen here, I'm not afraid of the devil himself, much less of the devil's dandruff." Now you laugh, but do you know why you're laughing? That's an idiom, a German idiom, the devil's dandruff, which today is a reference to the drug cocaine. But in Winnikin's day, I believe it was an idiom. It was slang for all the evil influences that fall from the devil wherever he goes. Or possibly it is it's a reference to the evil people who promote the schemes of Satan, either knowingly or unknowingly. But whatever he did mean by that, what Winnikin was trying to do was to shock this man into repenting of his false doctrine. It didn't work. But later in the proceedings, Winnikin did succeed in overcoming the critic's attacks by means of a careful study of Luther's scripture-based doctrine about confession, especially private confession. Now, let's go back to Walther's announcement of Winnikin's death. There he calls him, quote, "a truly evangelical preacher, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, a fearless witness of the pure, full truth, an enemy of all deceit and hypocrisy, a faithful servant of the Lord, one who in his sincere humility knew only his own weakness and not his power. He became to hosts of preachers and laymen a model, to thousands a spiritual father, loved and respected by all who knew him," really knew him. That's the end of the quote from Walther. But surely Dr. Walther, in these words, had in mind 1 Corinthians 2 and the following verses. Amen.